B-Pod Studios.
Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Here are the Bankroll. Who you got?
Welcome into Over Under 985, the podcast. I'm Joe Murray alongside Dan Lifshatz. The NFL season is officially over, Dan.
It's about time. It's about time, but hey, it ended the way we wanted it to, Joe.
And we cashed. A lot of the picks that we gave hit. You wouldn't let me do PP because the PP was cold.
And that was very smart of me. I'm not going to apologize for that.
We broke it though.
No, we did. But I mean, again, it could have been a lot worse.
Well, why not go all in?
And that's
full tilt.
I mean, because if we go all in and then they lose, then you can't make what PPs for weeks on end.
Yeah. Well, they both hit if we count them. But Kansas was the only PP that hit. What was your PP? Did you have a PP?
Yes, I did. The PP was the anthem over.
Oh, well, controversy.
Controversy, yeah. Controversy. A little Gary Tanguay. Yeah, so every book that I know of, with the exception of one that we have discussed in this podcast many a time, cash the over. Now, if there was another book that didn't cash your over, like a local or something, then that's just, I mean, they're just screwing with you. However,
local cashed.
Most locals cashed. However, if you bet on Bovada, they screwed you. That is why I hate that book. That is why I've been kicked off that book. That's why I'm never allowed to bet on that book again, nor would I ever want to. Screw them.
You know, I'll say this. If you're just a beginner and you only want to spend like $100 a week, it might be a good idea. And I know there's other options to do that, Dan. But I'm sorry. Like, I've told the story probably on the podcast before, but I bet Tiger Woods to beat somebody in a matchup. And he played with the ball and he lost a stroke. Well, I won my bet, but because of the stroke, I lost it. And if you bet online, they took it away. Well, if you bet at a Twin River, you know, a casino with a ticket, you cashed. So in this case, some people were, you know, it went over the total in some places, some didn't consider it. But in the end, though, it does come down to the book and their rules, man.
Yeah, no, it certainly does. I mean, Bet Online has their rules. Bet Online cashed them both ways. So there are some books that are kind, and there are some books that suck. And we all know where I stand on Movada. Suckage.
Something else I wanted to bring up from last week is we'll give ourselves the pat on the back because we did really well. Just quickly, I don't know how we got into it, but number was a Deadspin that came up with the top followers gambling on Twitter or whatever.
I think it was something different. It wasn't Deadspin. It was a different website, but one of those, like the Lead or some crap like that.
So I've now noticed that the podcast people listen more and more because that thing got out to people. Like certain people were like, I don't know who Over Under 95 is, and and it was like, aren't you going to go at these guys for talking trash? You know, like I actually saw some of that hate this week, Dan.
Oh, really? Do we have any names? Because I'd love to hear.
No. I'd love to hear. People were actually like, I've never heard of those guys. Like, but it was like the Twitter folk that were trying to make it a big stink.
Interesting. They didn't tag me because they know that I would get into it real quick. They know I love the mug.
And you came out with a list that you like to follow.
Yeah, I gave out a list of guys I like to follow. I think that on that list is a good variety of different types of players. You have your sharps, the guys who consistently play heavy money and are well-known bettors and kicked off all the local books and all that stuff because they, you know, they hit too many bets and, you know, that stuff. I gave you a couple of touts to follow who I think are very good and, you know, have successfully made me money when I've purchased from them. Because, again, we all purchase picks. Again, I purchased in the past, and these are, like, the only few guys that actually made me money. And I gave some, you know, free cappers, just some prop guys, a whole bunch of stuff, and also another podcast, the Chicken Dinner Podcast, which, again, we give those guys a lot of love. They give us love, and they're a very good podcast, and they continue to do a good job over there.
So I will admit this, and I think you just said it yourself. I have purchased picks before. The reason why I did it was because, like, it was short money, and I could get, like, a couple months' worth. And I actually got, like, the college tournament. Two or three years ago. I forget which one. It was when South. And it was like, all right, whatever pick they gave me, like, I focused on that one pick a day. You know what I mean? Actually, like, made me disciplined. And that's the only reason why I would ever suggest ever, like, paying for service or anything like that. It's for just for the simple fact that maybe sometimes there's too many plays. And that's something I want to discuss this week, Dan, is that, you know, we got a big slate. You know, there's NHL, NBA, college, you know, with no NFL this week. Like, now what else are people going to bet on? You know, UFC. It's probably something people are interested in for Saturday night, but I'm keeping it simple, man. I'm following a team. I'm following a trend. And I know some people like to get a little crazy this time of year because football's over. But for me, this is where you have that bankroll. You take your shots, but I take a little bit less shots now instead of, you know, like, you know, the other night I was doing halftime stuff and did pretty well. But overall, like, I don't do that stuff on a Thursday night. You know what I mean? So I think it's still to keep in mind, even though football's over, you got to, like, focus on things. Don't go for too many things because, you know, you can really hurt your bankroll.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I think that's a good way to put it. I think that, you know, when it comes to betting, you need to be selective. And that's why, you know, people ask me, oh, can I get your whole card? Can I get more points from you? Yada, yada, yada. And that's kind of why I say, no, I'm only going to put out X, Y, and Z. Because then when you start putting out too much, it's almost like you're kind of being overbearing about what you give and how much you give. And sometimes there's just too much out there. And people are like, oh, I was only able to follow A and B, but not C and D. And of course, C and D did well.
Yeah. We hear that all the time.
Right. So that's why, you know, I give out 2, 3, 4 picks a day. And that's it. You know, on the Saturdays, I'll give out maybe 4 or 5 or, you know, sometimes more. If I feel, you know, generous or whatever, a big college basketball day, yeah. But, you know, like a Tuesday night or Wednesday, I'll give out 2 picks. And most of the time, I don't even like giving 2 picks. I want to give 1. Like tonight, I made that mistake. I loved Yale. Yale was my favorite play on the board by far. And, of course, I gave the Knicks under something else I played. But personally, I played it much smaller. And I was trying to get greedy because I had a 2-0 night the other night. And I immediately regretted the minute I put it out.
Well, I'll tell you this much. Just to add to that, like, and that's something we should talk about, is that the NBA's been tough. Like, I think more people bet on the NBA than maybe even college basketball. I'm not sure. But, like, dude, the NBA's tough. I mean, right now it's tough. And there's a lot of money to be won. You took Yale. They were almost 8-point favorites, dude. Like, that's not an easy spread to cover, you know? No. So, like, I just think that the college is a little bit easier to cap than maybe the NBA.
I just think that, especially right now, for unders, NBA unders are extremely tough, and I should have been more aware. I felt that was a good spot tonight, and it was a bad play, and I should have been more aware because honestly the overs right now, I don't know if people have noticed this, but the overs, and this is really interesting. Overs have been cashing in the NBA at almost a 4% higher percentage this year through the year.
I think that's because of the shot clock.
And last year, again, and that's not much of a surprise, but in the last 3 weeks, it's been 17%. So the last 3 weeks compared to last year's, of all the stats I've been keeping, overs are cashing at 17%. I thought I found a good one tonight, and I didn't. And I was stupid, and that was my fault, so I do apologize.
Well, I'll give you an example. Two games, going back to Sunday, if you remember the Celtics and the Thunder on Super Bowl Sunday. Dude, I thought that those two teams never have gone over the total together, ever in their history, and the thing was went way over. It took the under and lost. Well, I felt the same way with the Lakers game this week. I just thought that the team started out really hot, they'll slow down. They did slow down a little bit, but dude, they hit what, 13 three-pointers in the third quarter.
Yeah, I mean, so you have some fun stats for you. Celtics totals over 218 this year, 19-1. The Lakers totals under 223 this year. For the under is like 17-1, something ridiculously stupid. Wow. And that's why I played the under in the Lakers the other night, just going off that trend. It's been incredibly strong, and it was actually a decent spot for the under. So I was like, I'll double up, definitely going to play that. The other thing is, and this is interesting for college bettors, this year, home court has actually meant less by almost one whole point in terms of actual betting.
Yeah, I had Iowa on the road last night at Indiana, so that's a good example.
So, yeah, but I mean, just the whole year, this whole year, being home has meant basically a point less than it did last year. Pretty great. And there's no statistical reason why, but basically home teams, betting home teams, means just a little less than it did last year. And Iowa was a great cash the other day. I also played, played Cincinnati -3.5 last night. That was one of my other plays I did not put out there. And I thought that was a very good play. And so that, you know, that was a cash.
I had Houston on the road the other night against UCF.
Yes, they blew them out. It wasn't even close.
So, no, those are great takeaways, because for me, like, the way I look at it is I think during the week, we'll talk about spots, and we'll get into them in a little bit. There are some teams I like to ride. Remember, I think the last podcast, I talked about riding Michigan State, and then that, you know, I've been riding Wisconsin now. And to give you a little teaser for Saturday, well, they play Michigan and Michigan State next.
Oh,
so
boy,
you know what I'm doing tomorrow.
Of course, you're riding Wisconsin.
No, I'm fading them.
Oh, you're fading them? Oh, yeah. Man, be careful.
I'm fading, dude.
Okay, all right. And you know what? I actually like that. I can respect that.
And as a teaser, and I know the lines, I saw a line earlier come out, 5.5 was Michigan on that. And I look at that and I say, wow, Wisconsin's getting like disrespected.
The lines are out. Wisconsin's actually 6 now. So Michigan opened at 5, it's out 6.
See, that's what I mean. Like, I just, maybe the books are like with me. You know, they're like, oh.
I kind of like whiskey tomorrow, just based off the line. Yeah. You would think that.
You would think, right?
You would think. Yeah, so.
Anyways, all right, so we'll go over last week, of course, dude. So yeah, tails. I that was me just like thinking at the table, you know, whether it's gonna be black or red like that. And I think next year will be tails too, but
you hit it, you son of a bitch.
The over went, the one big ones I came away with was Sony Michel first touchdown. That was +500.
That was a very nice hit. Let's talk about a few of those things. First quarter under 0-0, easy cash. First half under 0-0, easy cash. Full game under 13-3, easy cash. I mean, really, if you played the unders like we suggested, you did very well. Other things,
wasn't there somebody who said that they took every single under listening to the podcast, but I think you were kind of just joking around.
Yeah, so we were joking around, being like, yeah, just take under everything. The dude literally took under on everything, and I think it, like, he told me he made like $4,000. I was like, holy crap, dude, nice job. Like, good, I'm happy that worked, but Jesus, next time at least ask us if we're, you know, being serious or not. You know, we don't mind answering a DM or a tweet, bro. Jeez. And so, you know, whatever. So I'm very happy for him, but you know, be careful on that. So he hit under everything. A few things that did not hit. The Donald Trump over, I'm very surprised. He had two tweets right before the Super Bowl and then nothing else. I was heated. I was like, damn, this mother. He just doesn't come through when you need it. So that did not hit. And neither did the James White. But pretty much everything else that we touted, I think, did hit for the most part.
Patriots -3, money line.
Pats, well, you like Pats, I like Rams. But yeah, we both had the money line. Goff to throw an interception was something we spoke about. He threw a big one. We had the, you had the Sony Michel first touchdown. I had told you the MVP was Brady. I thought that was the best way to bet the Pats. And so that I will take an L, also responsibility on. But I mean, just in general, I think that we, you know, with the exception of a few things here and there, I think that we did very well in that game. We did very well in the NFL in general this year, Joe. And so, after all of our futures and everything, I can give you the actual record if you don't mind holding on a minute.
I don't mind at all. And I'll also say that, like, this was the first year that every single week we gave out picks, you know, and like, I will admit sometimes there are games that we give away online or on the podcast that maybe we're not betting. We just do it.
Oh, I bet them.
You know, just do it. I feel like just to, you know, kind of give you more plays. That's one way to look at it. But I don't know. I just feel like doing this thing every week now. I feel like next year, I think we'll be real sharp to start the season.
So this year we went 53, 43, and 5. We were plus 14.2 units. So not great, not bad. That's after our futures. So our futures didn't do exactly beautifully. However, still, I mean, that's a good year, a respectable year. We had the Pats winning the AFC plus 275, which, you know, ended up actually putting us in the positive for the futures.
It's it's basically 53% overall. But that's 101 plays, dude.
Yeah, I mean, we unfortunately should have been better. Our college football, 64%. But again, it's because the NFL futures. If you take away the futures, Joe, we hit at a nice 57%. So a solid 57%.
I don't care. The NFL was hard this year. People who said that they raked, maybe they did in the playoffs. This season, it was difficult weekend. There were upsets every single weekend, man.
I agree. I think that 57 is solid. The futures bring it down to 53. I would have liked to be 54, 55, to be honest with you, but I will take the profit. We had a lot of plus money plays on the futures. So if you listen to that podcast, you did very well. Congratulations. we lost like, Drew Brees to have MVP, which we should have. If we hit that, we would have probably been up over 25 units because we had that. That would have been nice. We had a few others. Kansas City under was a big loss. Tennessee was a loss, but we had, you know, some big winners. Oakland under was a big win, and New England over was a push, which was nice.
You mentioned Chicago because I know
we had the Chicago over. So I mean, we after all the plays on the futures and everything ended up canceling out, brought us down a percentage because we played the MVPs, and it would be unfair not to count those in a percentage. In my personal opinion, I think it's silly not to count like the MVPs and all that stuff. Like if you in a percentage, which you know is going to lower your percentage, but hopefully still bring you more money. So in my opinion, I still would like to have been 55 after all the futures.
All right. Well, dude, I think we did a really good football. Dude, there were some weekends I thought were tough, but college, where's where it's at. And right now, I'm starting to, you know, starting to sharpen my chainsaw as we get it. Because, Dan, I'll share a story with you in the next segment. And I may have told you this before, but this is where you make your money.
All right.
This is the time of year you make your money.
All right, we got like a 17-minute opening segment here, so I think we can move on. I think we can move on. What do we want to do, right, Joe? What are we doing next?
Let's start with your NHL
perfect
preview, and we'll touch on a little bit of NCAA basketball because I saw a lot of questions this week for that. So we'll pause here again. You're listening to the Over Under 985 podcast at Over Under 985. I opened up my DMs, Dan.
Oh, good for you, Joe.
Which is
messy.
It's interesting.
Interesting. Okay, that's an interesting. That's the correct way to put it.
I'll just say this: I see everything, but I won't answer everything.
Gotcha. Okay, so there's some stuff that you don't like, apparently.
Exactly. So I'll share that on the podcast, and of course, you can go to find us on 985thesportshub.com or BPod Studios, and find all the other original podcasts. We're one of them, Dan. One of the original podcasts from Beasley Media, 985 The Sports Hub.
We are one of the highest rated. So
that's damn right.
Top four highest rated.
Yes, and I know that the wrestling inside the ropes, I'll give those guys props. I love wrestling too, Dan. So maybe I'll do a wrestling podcast on my own someday. Let's get to the picks.
Yeah. I talked to Jimmy. We'll bring in the men. We'll do a crossover.
By the way, I think we could make Dan Lifshatz a wrestler.
Let's not play that game.
Like we could do that.
Okay. You know, now we need to move on to the picks.
we could create a character. Like there already used to be the $1 million man, you know, Ted DiBiase. Maybe we can do something with Lift Shots. I'll work on that one. All right. We'll look into the NHL coming up next here on Over Under 95.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifshatz, and send in your questions at Over Under 985.
Back here, Over Under 985. I'm Joe Murray, Dan Lifshatz alongside as well. Opening it up with NHL. I watched the Bruins, right? Obviously, we're in Boston here, but I see the scores around the league and I'm just like, ooh, they score a lot. The Rangers have gone over the total a lot lately. The Carolina Hurricanes also go over the total a lot. Like,
You bet the overtime, didn't you?
I don't even know what happened. What happened?
They went way under. It was 3-0.
Oh, way under?
Way under. It was an under game. Yeah, I actually had this marked as an under game, too, and didn't bet it.
So there you go. So I'm just a casual scoreboard hockey watcher, right?
Which is funny because you told me you love betting first period unders, and this was the perfect night, Joe. Perfect night.
Oh, so 0-0 after first. There'll be a day where I focus on it. You know, right now though, things have been really good. I'm spotty, but when it comes to hockey, though, you mentioned it. This first period unders. There's the totals. There's, you know, the puck lines if you want to take those. But like, is anything hot? Any hot teams right now people should know about?
In general, the Blackhawks first period over has been incredible. I think they're hitting at something like 84% this year. Tampa Bay Lightning first period over is hitting around 80%, which is why you've seen those juice so high. Now, if you see one juiced at like 145, there was one, there was the Islanders Lightning that we talked about on the podcast a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever. So minus 145. And someone was like, oh, I'm going to take it. So I only have a minus 145. And I was like, no, that's bad. If it's that low and they've hit it like, you know, 19 in a row, that should be a warning sign going off in your head that that's not good. So anyways, that did not hit. It ended at 0-0. But basically, the first period overs have been something that has not really been an extremely popular bet in previous years. And the past 2 or 3 years really have exploded. And so that market has really dried up quick, unfortunately.
Interesting. And I know that I'm trying to think of what else. So there's still the Sunday. They still have the Sunday matinee game, right? Every Sunday.
Yeah, for the most part, Sunday matinee games. They do those during football season, which is interesting to me. They'll do like a 12, a 2, and then they'll split the rest off to 5 and 7. For the most part, at least if you're on the East Coast. You're on the West Coast, you get some early games and you get some, you know, midday games, maybe after hockey or, you know, during Sunday Night Football. If you want to watch that instead, you want to stop watching football.
Yeah. But. And tonight was the only game in the NHL. Carolina, 3-0 Carolina with the win.
3-0. Yep, exactly. So anyways, let's get into some spots that I like for this weekend. I'm not going to do a full week of NHL. I think what happened is, you know, we did that for 2 weeks. It worked very well the first week. The second week, it was kind of tough. It's very tough projecting out lines a week away. It's tough in the NHL. It's tough in any sport, but really in the NHL, it's tough. And so what I'm going to try and be very clear this week is why, you know, Joe, and you've kind of heard me say this. Oh, why do you like, you know, the Bruins Kings at the under, you know, under 5.5 and not under 6? Why wouldn't I want the extra half point? Doesn't that seem like it's better for me to get it at 6 instead of 5.5? Naha, not so fast, my friends. The reason is because if something is lined at 5.5, it should be at 5.5, or it means it's going to be an underline. If it's lined at 6, and say that team is a 5.5 team, constantly getting lined at every single game, 5.5, and all of a sudden they're at 6, again, alarm bells should go off in your head. Why is it at 6? I like the under. If it's at 6 and it's usually a 5.5 team, that's a bad thing. So let's start with the Bruins and Kings on Saturday, okay? I believe it's an early game. I'm not positive on that.
1 o'clock. The Kings have been, they're 6-3-1 in their last 10.
Yeah, so under game, so early game, 1 o'clock game. A lot of these are either high scoring games or there's no goals. So I'm going to start with Bruins Kings under 5.5. If it's at 6, do not play it. Again, do not play it if it's at 6 or 6.5. Do not play it. You don't need to ask me. Just know if it's at 6 or 6.5, do not play the under. In fact, I would advise you to probably play the over. I'm not going to put that as a play, but I would advise you to play the over. Now, tomorrow, I already know that the line is at 5.5. The thing is that it's juiced to 5.5 minus 130, which is a bit scary to me. So, in my opinion, I think that you should play the Bruins Kings under. I think you should play it small. So
yeah, you have Jonathan Quick and Tuukka Rask, two good goaltenders.
Yes, but I do think it's a small under spot. Both these teams are under teams. It's an under spot on an under Saturday afternoon. I think this is an under spot, but again, please be careful. It's juiced to minus 130 as the opener, which is should be scary to under bettors. So I would just say I would play it small. I do like that spot though for the Bruins if you're betting.
What do you think about home teams in hockey?
I don't think home ice matters almost anything in hockey. A few years ago in the playoffs, it mattered a lot. Now it means pretty much nothing. And so if you have a team that is not terrible on the road, just isn't a bad traveling team, you'll get some of those every year. But if you find a team that is not a bad traveling team, there's no reason to be scared to play them on the road. None.
Okay. Any other spots in the NHL you want to give?
Yes.
Me?
So I have 4 more spots picked out for Saturday and woo! 4 on Sunday as well. So let's dig into it. Let me pull it up here. The Ottawa Senators face off versus the Winnipeg Jets. I believe that game is like
Ottawa
2 o'clock.
Dog.
So Ottawa has been very good recently. Just got a 4-0 win versus Anaheim. However, and Winnipeg has not been great the last 2 games. However, Winnipeg, this is a big hockey game in Canada. Big hockey game. Winnipeg has not only owned this team, but they've decimated them. Winnipeg is an incredibly good offensive team. The way that their breakouts are, the way that Ottawa plays the breakout, just is the exact opposite you want to play versus a team like versus Winnipeg. Not only does the timing work out, but the Jets team total over 3.5 tomorrow. And again, the team totals don't come out until usually the day before, you know, around that day. But the Jets team total, I don't even think the line is out yet for the entire game. But the Jets team total over 3.5. I'm assuming it's going to be a 3.5.
Total 6.
Yeah, okay. So if the total is at 2.5, please do not play it. But if the total is at 3.5 for the Jets team total over 3.5 is a play. In fact, it's only a play. That is a PP for me. So Saturday, the Jets team total over 3.5. I'm assuming it is not, and again, the team totals won't come out till, you know, a couple hours before the game. Assuming it's not over anything over 120, if it's anything over minus 120 or 125, do not play it. That's too much juice. So I would just advise you at 3.5, anything under minus 125 is a PP. Good to play.
Ooh, we get our first PP.
You do not have to ask me. You don't have to ask me if I'm playing it because I will be playing it. Okay, so you don't have to ask me. The second spot that I like tomorrow is the Dallas Stars. They are at Arizona. Again, we just talked about how home ice really doesn't
matter.
Arizona
sucks.
Arizona's getting better. Let's be fair. Arizona used to suck bad. They have a bunch of good players. The problem is right now they are extremely injured. Extremely injured. The Dallas is, you know, a few injuries themselves. However, I'll say this. It's not close. Arizona has gone
over
5.
Dallas has won 9 in a row over Arizona.
Okay, well, Don, I did not know that, but that's helpful to know. Nonetheless, Dallas money line tomorrow minus 130.
Woo!
Is a bet I will be on. Dallas team total is also a bet I will be on, assuming it's at 2.5. The total is at 5.5. If it's anything under, you know, if it's at 3.5, I like it even more, actually, to be honest with you. However, it won't be because the total is at 5.5. So the Dallas Stars over team total over 2.5. Assuming the juice, again, we're going to play the same thing. I don't like playing juice. Assuming the juice is minus 125 or under. Okay, minus 125 or under. I like the Dallas team total over 2.5. I would not play both. I would play one, the money line or the team total. I would not play both again, but I would like to play the Stars money line. That is my other PP for tomorrow. Yes.
Not power plays.
Yep, podcast.
Podcast plays.
All right, we're not done yet. We're not done yet. You ready? Here we go.
All right. We have to do this Saturday on Ice right now.
Saturday on Ice is great, right? Okay.
It's like Disney on Ice.
The Sharks and Oilers. Sharks and Oilers. Two teams that have consistently played offensive hockey.
Dog.
The Sharks have been solid but very underwhelming this year for the most part. Healthy teams, healthy goalies. I think Carlson is going to play, even though he's questionable tomorrow.
Looks like Talbot for Edmonton.
Yep. So Talbot will be in there. Edmonton has been pretty poor at home in scoring goals, but they've consistently allowed them, especially at home and on the road. San Jose is bucketing goals like it's no issue. I like the San Jose Edmonton over 6.5, and the line right now is at -120. I will be playing the over 6.5 in that one. That is also a PP. So you have triple PP in hockey tomorrow.
Wow, a triple PP.
Triple PP. So
Edmonton's just two spots out of a playoff spot, and of course the Sharks are at the top of their division. So I like that lean there. Okay. I can see a 5-4 game.
One more. And again, this is not a PP. So this is not a PP. The Pens and Bolts, Penguins and Lightning play tomorrow.
Ooh,
they are consistently over teams. I don't know what the first period over is, but if it's reasonable, -150 or something, I think that is a good parlay piece. I don't know. No, Dan is giving out a parlay piece. Can you believe it? Yes. I think if it's -150 to the -180 range, I think that would be a good parlay piece with something else. For the first period over, I do think that game is going to go over. I think it should be lined at 6.5. If it's six, anything under, do not play it. Do not play it. But if you want another play for hockey, I think that's an okay one. Small bet. Again, I'm not sure I'm going to be on it yet, but that is a spot that I picked out. Okay.
Jeez.
Yep.
Dan, it's cold as ice right now.
Okay. Sunday. Here we go. And here we go on Sunday. All right. This is a new day. Colorado Avalanche, the Boston Bruins are home, Colorado Avalanche on the road. Colorado has been just a dynamite team this year, except for the past like 4 or 5 weeks. They've been awful. They just lost 5 straight, I believe. I believe off the top of my head, they've lost 5 straight. The Bruins have been up and down. I do think that the Avalanche get back on track versus the Bruins on the road.
We'll be rocking that.
So I do think that is a good spot. Now, if you would like to ask me about this one, feel free to ask me about that one because I don't have the line or anything in front of me. But I think that the
Bruins
Avs
-167
versus the Avs.
Yep.
It's yours. Wow. Okay. -167. That's high. So let's revisit that one. I don't love, again, these are all small. None of these Sunday are PPs. There is a good spot Sunday, but none of them are PPs. The Predators on Sunday, they are facing a Blues team. They are actually facing them Saturday and I believe Sunday as well. So doing the back-to-back home road split.
Nashville's favorite.
If the Blues win on Saturday, I think the Predators are a good spot on Sunday. If the Predators win on Saturday, I don't like it as much. But if the Blues win on Saturday, I think the Predators' money line on Sunday is a very decent bet. Again, I don't know what that line will be. Joe, you might have it. But I do not.
-167.
Oh, okay. That's high too. So maybe you do the puck line or the regulation line. So the regulation line will be for the Nashville to win in regulation. That means if it goes into overtime, it will not count. Or the puck line means they have to win by 1.5. So that could be a look for you there if you're looking for something in hockey. My favorite line of Sunday is the Islanders and the Wild over. And this could become a play that I post. I'm not positive about it yet. But this is definitely a play that I like. It's a good spot for both teams for a lot of goals. The Islanders have been a very team in scoring goals recently, which is funny because they were one of the league-leading teams in scoring goals early. If that line is at 5.5, do not play the over. Do not play the over. If it is at 6 or 6.5, I think the Isles Wild over is a good play on Sunday. So I would advise you to make that play. Okay. Finally, the Leafs team total is a potential look against the Rangers on Sunday. I don't love it, but it is a potential look. That is one, if you want to ask me about it, feel free to DM me about it. It is a potential play. My assumption is it'll probably be 3.5. And maybe we'll just play the Leafs money line, depending on how low it is. But that is a possible look as well. So why don't you DM me about the Leafs on Sunday? But there you go. That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different spots. Again, our PPs, Jets team total over 3.5 Saturday. The Dallas Stars money line or team total on Saturday as well. You can choose which one you want to do. And the Sharks Oilers over 6.5 on Saturday. My favorite spot on Sunday, the Islanders and Wild over, as long as it's not at 5.5, as long as it's at 6 or 6.5. There we go.
Wow, that was like a serious hockey breakdown.
I told you, I did a lot of research today. I did some stuff. I was, you know, I took my lunch break and was doing that instead because, you know, a couple guys were going out for lunch and I didn't want to go out today. This is what I did. So I broke down the NHL for 2 days.
Holy crap, people.
Yeah. And
there's money to be made, people.
And I'm not doing it for the rest of the week because it's just too hard to predict these lines right now. So we're not going to do that. And I'll just give out picks if I like them. But that's kind of where we're at.
All right. There's the hockey breakdown. Well, let's take a hockey breather. I'm freezing. Okay. You threw 3 PPs at me. That's never happened before. A triple PP.
I know. So I'm not going to have any other PPs.
Okay.
There you go.
I have one in college hoops.
Perfect.
But holy crap. That was the most in-depth hockey I've heard in a long time, gambling wise.
Yep, I thought that was pretty good for the people. Gets the people going.
Should we dig right into another sport?
Absolutely. Let's go. Whatever you want.
Let's do college basketball, all right? Cuz I'm already looking at the slate. Okay? And Nooner tomorrow.
Oh boy.
I told you this. I've been following Wisconsin all week, and I've been taking them, and it's been hot. I'm all over the Big Ten right now, Dan. It's because I get them on FS1 and the Big Ten Network. So, like, right now, I love the Big Ten. It's very competitive. Last week, I went with Big 12 and SEC, and a couple of games just to throw out there right off the bat. Wisconsin at Michigan. I mentioned that the line's 5.5. You said it went up to 6. That's the live line right now. Michigan's 8-2 in their last 10. Wisconsin's 7-3. Wisconsin beat Michigan just about 2 weeks ago. This is payback for Michigan. And I agree with you, dude. Like, you see Wisconsin at 6, and you're like, they're being disrespected. But I just feel like this is a revenge spot, like an absolute revenge spot. So if you're looking at a side, I think it's clearly like Michigan. Like, I see like a 75-67 win from them.
I think, I think Whiskey is going to win tomorrow.
Okay, so where I'm going with it is this. The over-under is 119 and went up to 120. Take the over. They're going to score points. I don't think this is going to be a defensive battle at all.
Okay. Interesting. I don't...
You know what? Lock that up. PP.
Okay.
Over 119.
So I'll tell you this, Joe, and you may want to rethink the PP. Totals under 122 this year in college basketball are like 72% to the under.
Ugh.
Yeah. So tonight, for instance, the lowest total we've had, the lowest total tracked in like 10 years was between Siena and Manhattan. It was at like 110 or 112 or whatever. They scored 100 points.
I saw that. It was like 16-15.
Yes. So I almost played the under. If I had not completely forgotten about it, I probably would have just played it on principle of playing the lowest under on the board. But I just, I didn't. However, that was a spot I identified. I think that one might go under, but I'm not going to say anything, in regards to that. So if you want to make that your PP, I'm down.
Doing it.
Okay. Michigan, Wisconsin over 119.5 PP.
Yep.
I like
Michigan, as well.
I think Wisconsin is going to win that game outright. Michigan, for some reason, I cannot get behind them. They've sucked recently. They've been terrible recently. And I just don't think that they're that good of a team. Now, I know they're 21-2, but like, they're beating these bad teams by like 2 or 3 points every time. Let's not get carried away with how good Michigan has been recently, because they have not. I mean, you look at their schedule. They lost to Iowa. They got blown out by Iowa. They beat Rutgers by 12 on the road. But I mean, really, Rutgers was playing with them the whole game. They beat Minnesota by two. They should crush Minnesota. They beat Indiana. That's not really that surprise. They crushed Indiana. Indiana sucks. And then they beat Ohio State pretty nicely. But again, they got crushed by Iowa. I mean, they lost by 15. So that's pretty bad. And then, again, you should beat that Rutgers team by, 20 if you're a top team in the league. So I don't love the way they've been playing.
I agree. I think their ranking is based off where they finished last year,
Yeah.
And they went on a big run, and then they ran into a couple of tough teams, and I think they get the win this week in Wisconsin.
Okay.
And it's just based off of spots, man. But Ethan Happ, I think he's one of the best players in the country. He's not a great foul shooter, but I think that guy could play pro at the next level if he really.
Can I give you an interesting one for 12 o'clock?
Yeah, dude.
Clemson, Virginia Tech. Clemson is a 2.5-point favorite at home versus Virginia Tech. Real interesting. Virginia Tech 18-4, number 11 in the country. Clemson is 14-8, good team, but 4-5 in the ACC, and really has been disappointing in most spots, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think they lost that game to Syracuse. That was a real disappointing spot. They got crushed by Virginia. I know they lost to Florida State, and they lost that NC State game that they should have won, but I think they covered, but they lost. But then they beat Pittsburgh and Wake Forest, and I'm looking at them, looking at their schedule right now, and they crushed Georgia Tech. So that was the last game. 2.5-point favorites versus Virginia Tech. Call me crazy, but that's a lot of disrespect towards Virginia Tech.
And Virginia Tech's coming off a loss, too. I agree with you. I'm a big Buzz Williams guy, and I just feel like Clemson's all like, I don't know. I feel like, yeah, they're 10-2 at home this year, but they're 5-5 in their last 10 games. Like in this spot, If I bet it, I'd probably bet Virginia Tech, plus the points. But I've watched Clemson, and they're not really impressed. Virginia Tech can shoot from the outside.
Yeah,
Clemson, I don't even know what they do.
I'm just. This reminds me so much of the Arizona line last night, where people got suckered into Arizona. I think they were playing Washington, and it was the same type of line. Arizona was like a 2-point favorite at home versus Washington. Arizona hasn't been great all year. They've been an okay team. Same with Clemson. And they just, Washington, they beat Washington, didn't pull them out. They may beat them like 7 or 8, but again, soundly win, wasn't really concerned much throughout the game. I feel like that's what's going to happen tomorrow. I feel like Virginia Tech wins by like 6 or 7 in that one. So not that I'm playing it. It's just an interesting line. 2.5. Like if you're a 1-point favorite versus Virginia Tech, like I kind of get it. Like you're looking for some money on the favorite. 2.5. You're going to get a lot of Virginia Tech money at 2.5. So you better feel good as a book at 2.5. That's all.
Yeah. I did want to get into the Duke Virginia game, but that's later on. That's later on in the day. Just early games off top of the head. I like Virginia Tech. I like Georgetown at home. They've actually, I'm not betting these games, but they've actually like handled this series over the last few games. Kansas, be careful of them. Like they just lost the kid Vic D'Souza is ineligible. Like they're somewhat of a mess. They always win at home, but like
they're such a good home team though. They just cover at home and they suck on the road. Like they lost to Kansas City on the road, but like I think their last home game, I can't remember who it was, but they covered that home. It was Texas Tech, who good team. Texas Tech is a good team, and they beat them soundly by 16. Mm. So different team at home.
Go ahead.
Yeah, they're just a different team at home.
Yeah, they on the road they've always struggled, and that's why they lost in the tournament last year. Another thing I want to look at, SEC game, Kentucky at Mississippi State. I think if Kentucky was going to lose, it was going to be last week at Florida. They had a huge comeback second half and won the game by almost double digits. Mississippi State's having a really good year, but they've been struggling of late, and I just feel like the books are trying to fade Kentucky at some point. Plus 4 for Mississippi State at home. I still like Kentucky in the spot, and I would actually – I don't want to make it a PP, but I would bet that game -4 tomorrow, Kentucky.
I actually like Mississippi State in that spot. I actually think it's a really good spot for them. Kentucky is starting to become overvalued in my eyes. They beat Florida, but they struggled badly. They beat South Carolina, who's a bad team. They beat Vanderbilt, but struggled in the first half. They beat Kansas, but were losing at times. the thing is that they've been very good recently. You know, they beat Auburn, they beat Mississippi State, by the way, already once at home, and they beat them, I think, pretty beatedly. They beat them by like 20 or something.
70-55.
Okay, so beat them by 21. Yeah. So that's bad. I just, at some point, I don't feel like it continues. And when you have like that Tuesday to Saturday every week, it feels like at some point the train comes off the tracks. I'm just saying they've been a very good road team, but they don't have any impressive road wins with the exception of Auburn. That'd be my one thing about them is they beat Auburn 82-80, but they lost to Bama on the road. You know, a team that you should be beating. You know, they barely beat they beat Louisville on the road, so I guess that's an okay win. But they don't have any good road wins, and so I'm not sure exactly how good of a road team they are. So I think if you're going to think about fading Kentucky, this might be a decent spot. I'm not doing it. This is not me recommending you taking Mississippi State. I'm just saying in the spot, I don't mind Mississippi State. They've been a very good home team.
I agree. Yeah, seeing +4.
They crushed Auburn.
Normally in this spot, I would do that. It should have happened last week against Florida. I just think the way Mississippi State's playing right now, I just think Kentucky owns that. Just owns them right now.
I mean, they beat Auburn, then they lost on the road to Bama, which again everyone's just losing on the road to Bama, and they beat Ole Miss at home or beat Ole Miss on the road after they lost them at home, and then they lost to LSU in that overtime game. So maybe they're a little tired from that overtime game. They should have beat LSU. They should have had them. So that's an interesting one as well. I do think so. Can I give you one now?
Go ahead.
UNC -17 versus Miami tomorrow.
Saw that.
17
Miami's
points?
Been really bad, dude.
They have. I mean, I know they're garbage in the ACC, but 17 is a lot to cover at home. If you're playing that game, Joe, UNC Miami, are you laying the Miami? And again, the over is at 157, which is mildly high for a game. Now, again, it's not high for UNC because they consistently put up like, 70, 80 points. But you'd expect that, it's at 70 or 80 points that UNC is going to have to score probably like 80 or 90 to get that over. If you have them winning, if it's 17-point spread.
Yeah, I think this is like a 90-75 game, North Carolina.
Yeah, I think that's about right. So you think that Miami covers that spread?
Oof. See, if I there's no way I can put money on Miami. There's no way.
I mean, they beat Miami at Miami by 9. So I get the spread. Like, I get it. I get why it's 17. It's just hard for me to lay that against Miami. Let me tell you this. I actually would feel better about this if, like, Miami was, like, instead of 10-12 and 2-8 in the ACC, if Miami was, like, 12-10, like, 4-4 in the ACC, and they were, like, an okay team, and UNC was 17-point favorites, I would feel better about laying the 17. I'd say, you know what? The books want you to take Miami. This one just feels weird to me. So, I don't know.
Another big one for tomorrow I got circled is Villanova at Marquette. I don't know if you know what the line is.
I do not.
Okay. Who do you think's favorite?
I would guess that it's Villanova at Marquette. Yep. I would guess Marquette.
Marquette -1.
Yeah, it's up to 2 already, actually. I just looked. It's up to Marquette's now -2 at 5 dimes.
Every week I have tailed Marquette many of a time this year. I don't know. This one's tough. And I love the small line, but give me the home team in this one.
So you're going to say you're taking Marquette?
Yeah, I just think, I got to look into it a little bit more. I do know Villanova's on a 10-game winning streak. I'd have to look into it a little bit more. I saw them play Creighton the other day and they destroyed them.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, Marquette has been probably one of the most undervalued teams in the league. They've been awesome, dude. Like, so good.
They have these like twin brothers or these brothers who are like really good. Hossers, the Hossers, whatever they are.
I'm telling you, that team has been undervalued all year. And they've just been great. I do have two interesting spots at 2 o'clock that I'm going to take a deeper look into tonight. If you want to talk about this, both decently sized games, Michigan State minus laying 13 versus Minnesota, Iowa State laying 11 versus TCU. Now again, Iowa State and Michigan State are both home. So, you know, both home faves. Just interesting. I think TCU is a good 16-6. They've sucked in the Big 12.
Yep.
So I'm wondering if they're trying to get some TCU money by making it 11, or what's going to happen there on the action there. And a Michigan State minus 13 versus Minnesota. Minnesota is a team that has played everyone tough this year, and Michigan State has struggled.
Yeah, I think they're Patino's kid.
Is
the coach of that team.
Yeah. So Michigan State has lost three in a row: Purdue, Indiana, and Illinois. I mean, they lost at Illinois. That's a bad loss.
Everybody's been losing to Illinois lately.
I know. But nonetheless, Minnesota's lost their last two, Purdue and Wisconsin. I think Michigan State is in a real good rebound spot there. I don't mind the 13. I might play that tomorrow. Michigan State minus 13 might be a spot for me, honestly. And I think you'll find some good money on Minnesota just because of how bad Michigan State has been, and maybe you'll get ignored the last two losses for Minnesota. I just think that's an interesting spot at the 2 o'clock hour. Michigan State minus 13. In fact, so far right now on Sports Insights, Minnesota getting 69% of the bet, 82% of the money, and it's down to 12.5.
That's overvalued.
So I'll tell you this. I like Michigan State in that spot already. Yeah. And if that percentage speaks up, I mean, if you're talking, Minnesota ends up being, and again, you get the general feel from, where people are betting from, gambling Twitter. I look at a lot of these guys' picks and see kind of where they are and everything. I get a good feel of where they're going to be. If Minnesota is one of those highly bet dogs tomorrow, you can bet your bottom I'm laying on Michigan State.
Wow.
I think it's a good rebound spot for
them. No, I'm looking into it. I think Minnesota's been valued, too overvalued in this one.
Agreed. 100% agreed. I think Minnesota's been too overvalued. I think Michigan State has some real blowout potential tomorrow.
Wow. And I'm just scrolling through the BC plus 11. I like Syracuse when they were on the road at BC as 3-point. Favorites 11. I don't know. I'll probably just gloss over that one because I know that Villanova Marquette game's at 2:30 tomorrow. But there's nothing that on the card that stands out besides the actual matchup of the game, and that's why I just go right to the Duke Virginia game. I had Duke at home against Virginia. I think they were 3.5. Yeah, they're 3.5-point favorites, and then Virginia hit that shot to blow everyone's cover. I had Duke money line, though. Right now, Virginia's minus 2. Both teams are outstanding. Does this one have to do with home court? I think I do think Duke's the better team, by the way.
Yeah, I think they are, too. I think they are. Virginia's been really good this year. I mean, just to just be fair, I mean, they've been as good defensively as they've always been, and they're much more impressive to me this year than they were last year. It felt like they just breezed through the regular season last year. No one gave them an issue. This year, it feels like they're a much better team in general. I don't think they score enough, which I think will ultimately be their downfall in the tournament, but I think they're a good team this year.
Totals at 135, I lean over right away.
Yeah, I think a Virginia total at 135 probably is an overplay too. Again, I don't take a look into these games until tonight. So these are the nights that I look into all these games. So I'm just giving you my initial thoughts. You're getting the honest opinions on the games. And I think, Joe, you're much the same way. I mean, you haven't looked at the lines either.
Yeah, earlier. Just looked at them. But the games I was chomping on were again, it was just that Michigan line early on. I like the over in that one. I'm probably going to dabble on Kentucky on the road. And then I'll take Marquette at home.
Can I give you a spot? I looked up yesterday, and I am already intrigued by it.
Go ahead.
Okay. South Carolina, Arkansas. Arkansas has been extremely overvalued, in my opinion, in the college basketball Periscope universe and just in general. People love them. They love their 14-8 record. They're like some revelation after they weren't that great last year. They're 5-4 in the SEC. Okay, they're not that great of a team. on the road versus South Carolina. South Carolina has been, let's be fair, they've been crap this year, okay? They're 11-11. They're not a great team. They're not. However, they played the SEC very well, with the exception of Kentucky. They're like 6-3 in the SEC, I think, this year. Good team. -1.5 tomorrow, South Carolina. I'm telling you, that Arkansas team is overvalued. I think South Carolina money line is a very good look tomorrow, if not just playing the spread in general. I think South Carolina wins that game pretty easily, actually. I think it wouldn't be surprised if South Carolina won the game by 7. Like, I think they're a much better team. And I'm not like a big Arkansas guy either this year. Like, name me a time that they have a good, impressive win on the road. Like, they have a good win versus Texas A&M. That was like a month ago. You know, since then, they got blown out by Tennessee on the road, blown out by Ole Miss on the road, blown out by Texas Tech on the road, and they barely beat LSU. And by the way, should not have beat LSU. Did not deserve to beat LSU in that game. I know, because I bet on Arkansas. Did not deserve to beat LSU in that game, okay? So they've had like two wins in like 2 months on the road that have been impressive. They beat Vandy at home in a game, again, they should not have won. I like a big letdown spot. I like South Carolina this Saturday. I think South Carolina is going to win that game.
Okay. We ran through a lot of good games. Dude, there's so many games on Saturday.
There are.
We're just discussing them as we're going here. But at noon tomorrow, I'm going to be all over that Michigan-Wisconsin game.
Are there any smaller games that you may look into tomorrow? You know, something like
I think Texas Tech is way better than Oklahoma. And that's a 1-point spread at 4:00. And again, this is where they're trying to get money on Oklahoma at home. And I believe Texas Tech has struggled on the road. And the last time they met, I bet this game, Texas Tech won by 7 and they covered the spread. They were 2-point favorites. Yeah. So I just think they win the series.
I think that makes some sense to me. I think Tech is the better team too. Oklahoma, who did they beat the other day?
They lost. Who was it?
Did they lose?
Yeah, they lost. It was a Big 12 game. Who was it? It was against...
I'll look it up. But, I mean, here's the thing. I feel like they're being overvalued this year, too. They lost to Iowa State. Iowa State. And they hit that 3 that should not have counted. And that's where Marty Mush lost his...
By the way, we got to talk about that for a second.
Okay.
How the hell does 2 games in the same week have that outcome?
Same ref.
And it just so happens the same ref.
In my opinion, and we've talked about this on the podcast, Joe, many a time, what have I always told you?
Well, you mentioned that there's always some sort of impact by the official.
There is some sort of impact by the official. So that official... 2 times in a row, you know what he's doing? He's getting paid out by the books.
Now, if that was in my area, I'd chase that guy down. I'm sorry.
I mean, yeah. 2 outcomes. By the way, that Oklahoma
guy
game.
I need security.
I was on Oklahoma.
That's not a threat. I'm not threatening anybody. Sorry.
Take that back. I was on Oklahoma that game. So that helped me, and I actually didn't see the ending until the next day, and I woke up and laughed. But again, it's concerning, and you did see that the college basketball issued a release saying that all games, even at the end of the game, will be viewed for replay. And you want to know why? It's because bettors are going to lose their crap.
Yeah, they can't be the only sport that's not involved. NFL's doing it. MLB, everyone's doing it. Like, all right, college. I know you're college. You know how many kids took money for years and you just suspended programs? And how is it in football that a coach can go wherever the hell he wants to go, but if a kid wants to transfer, he has to sit out a year? But a coach doesn't have to sit out a year, right? Like, get it together, college sports. Like, seriously.
No, I think they did, because right now they're at the point where I think they've gotten it together. They're allowing kids to transfer for the most part. I think they just ruled Ohio State's quarterback eligible today for the next year. So
messed up. A coach can, get right out of his deal, go to another school, but a kid who wants to go play somewhere else has to like go through hoops just to be eligible. Whatever. That's a story for another day.
I agree. Here's another college basketball spot I like tomorrow. UTSA, who just had a monster win the other day. Loved UTSA. They blew out FIU. I was on UTSA. They blew them out. I think they scored 100. I can't remember how many FIU scored, but it was not remotely close to 100. It was in the 60s. They blew them out. They're playing FAU now. So they're just, you know, your run of the mill Florida college tour.
You know, just get taking care of the whole Florida coast.
UTSA 7.5 point favorites. Like that. I like that. FAU is overrated in Conference USA. I guarantee you FAU will end up getting the majority of the bets and the majority of the money. UTSA is an awesome conference team. They're one of my favorite teams in the CUSA, and I think that they're going to win tomorrow. I think they'll cover easily. I think they'll probably win by 12, 13, 14, easy.
I remember the other day you had Nebraska at home. They got destroyed by Maryland, and Nebraska was a two-point favorite.
We did. I did. So
I don't mean that to rub it in, but it goes to your stat earlier that the home teams sometimes just don't matter.
No, you know, I took Nebraska in that spot, and man,
I fell for the trap. I watched Maryland play. They have a really good big man.
They do. And I just, Nebraska's been so good at home for the past couple of years. You got to have some faith that they'll figure it out. You know what I mean? And they'll just figure it out. I know that they're injured right now as a general as a team, but I mean, you just have to have some faith that they'll figure it out. But that home spot is very tough. You have like those home teams that have no business being a favorite in some spots. So like the Virginia Tech game tomorrow, the Arizona game yesterday versus Washington, and then the Nebraska game. Those are all good examples. I fell hard for that Nebraska slide. It's a sharp spot too, because the sharps love those type of spots. So it's a sharp spot too. Don't let that fool you. And so, you know, those are the kind of spots, you know, sometimes a sharp better loves. They see the value at home. But the value at home, as we talked about, not worth as much this year.
How about the NBA? And, you know, just shifting gears, like for Saturday, right? We all know the Celtics came off that loss to the Lakers. All of a sudden, they're 11.5 point favorites against the Clippers on Saturday night. I know the Clippers are a mess, that they just freed up a max contract, and it's, you know, Rondo the other night, and it's Doc Rivers coming into town. 11.5, too much in the spot for the Celtics.
You know what I'm going to tell you? I'm going to tell you to bet the over. Forget about the line and bet the over. The over's at 226, which is, again, we talked about where the Celtics are in the over spot. You usually sit around that 215, 216 area. You got that 226. Again, Clippers are a high-scoring team, but 226, I lean over there. Again, these are all initial thoughts without actually looking at anything. Yeah. Initial thoughts.
Just before we get back to it, the trade deadline came, and it looks like there was a little bit of movement.
There was a lot of movement. Let's be fair, a lot of movement.
Yeah, and I mean, when you look at it, like who did the best? You think as far as a betting angle?
I think for a betting angle,
like Toronto definitely bolstered their lineup.
I like Gasol, but they lost some depth. So it depends on how you look at that. They have the ability to go three big with Siakam and Ibaka and Gasol, and that's scary because most teams can't defend that. What I will say is, I think a lot of the teams that traded away assets, let's take the Clippers for example, good team, they're going to be overvalued. You know what I mean? At 11.5, I kind of like the Celtics, to be honest with you, Joe. People are down on the Celtics, right? They didn't make a splashy deadline move like the Sixers did. Well, the Clippers trade away their good players.
Gordon Hayward's just so hard to watch.
He is, man. But again, as I tell everyone, don't give up on him yet. It's not time to give up on the guy. So let's see. But, you know, I think the Celtics 11.5 tomorrow is not a bad bet. You know, you have the Celtics who are being disrespected very much. And again, this is without looking at any of the metrics, which actually matter to me. But just on the actual line, Clippers get away with their best player, haven't played yet, don't know how they're going to play without their best player, have a bunch of new guys rotating in. It's going to be tough to kind of do that. I know they play it on deadline day, but again, when everyone's moving, not all the pieces are playing. So they haven't played yet. I would just say off the top of my head, Boston 11.5 seems right. You have a team that knows each other, plays with each other, first thing, a team that hasn't played with each other at all, basically, and has a whole bunch of new pieces, and their leading scorer is gone. Probably going to be some good scoring opportunities for the Clippers, but, you know, shameful defense is what I would say instead of swearing. And so, therefore, I like the over and the Celtics there, to be honest with you.
Wow. Interesting on that one. We will do a lot of NBA weekend next weekend.
Can I give you another NBA spot I think is a decent one, a decent look? Atlanta tomorrow. Atlanta. The Hornets are one of the worst road teams in the league, 7-19 on the road. Atlanta's not a good team, but the 2.5 line does make me think that Atlanta is in a decent spot tomorrow. And again, I haven't actually looked at the spot to be fair, but Atlanta's in a decent, should be probably in a decent spot tomorrow. The Hornets are just a trash ass road team. And to be honest with you, I think that Atlanta probably wins that one. It just seems like one of those games where they win. It wouldn't surprise me. So that's kind of how I feel. I think that's a half decent NBA spot. Another one if you're looking there. And then I know that the big NBA game tomorrow is Houston, OKC. Houston is a 2-point fave over OKC, and over under there is 235.5. A lot of points. No lean there, but that should be an interesting game, Joe.
Yeah, NBA is going to be interesting, and I know on Sunday there's a another slate of games for you, and then I'm looking forward to next weekend with the whole All-Star weekend and everything like that. But yeah, how about Lakers Philadelphia? I know there's no line on that one, but Philly's been really good. Like, again, I know they covered tonight barely, but Philly's been a really interesting team, and they also improved at the deadline.
Yeah, I think they did. I think that they'll be a better offensive team and worse defensive team. That's just plainly how I put it. I hated the trade for Philadelphia, basically because I believe that they basically just dealt all their tradable assets for a guy who, again, I think is a good player. Tobias Harris is a good player, but he's on his fourth team. Yeah, so
Harris doesn't move the needle. He's good, but who's the power forward who was with the Hawks and then went to the Jazz?
Millsap?
Yeah, he's just like him.
Is that what you're talking about? I mean, yeah. I mean, because Millsap went to Denver, actually, not the Jazz.
Denver, whatever.
Yeah, okay, but yeah, but I knew you were talking about. But I don't think that even he's as good as Millsap, actually. He's a good scorer. He scores a lot, not a volume guy, but not very good defensively. And my big issue is that Philadelphia is going to have to pay him the max probably to keep him around. And he's not a max guy. And what's going to happen is you're going to end up losing probably Jimmy Butler in that case if you pay him. So then you'll have these three guys who are not as good as your original big three. And then you're going to be in the tax already. You're not going to be able to keep as many players as you want. And you just traded all your assets, and the Warriors are still together this year. Why not just wait a year? This is a stupid trade, in my opinion, because you could have waited next year and made it a similar type trade for a similar type player and kind of got all in on him and then maybe kept Butler too. So I don't know. I kind of hated the trade. So
there were a few teams who stood pat.
And, Celtics were one of them.
Like Charlotte, I don't know. Are they trying to get into the running of all these free agents?
Nah, I don't think so. I think they're just trying to keep Kemba around, if anything. I thought Kemba might get traded this offseason, but we'll see if they, you know, we'll see if they're even able to keep any of those guys.
Yeah. All right. That's anything else on the NBA that you got?
No, I think we're just good to questions now.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's take a quick little cut here. And then we'll come right back. We'll go to the window. We haven't answered your questions in a while. And I have a thought on UFC, all that, over under 985.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the ropes with wrestling talk. And where you should put your money with over under 985. Listen to the podcast at 985thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You send in your questions, we cash them out at the window. So who you got? Over under 98.5.
All right, final segment here, over under 98.5. I'm Joe Murray. He's Dan Lifshatz. Questions, Dan, because I know people have been sending in stuff all week. Anything you got that's on the people's minds?
We have a ton of college basketball questions. Not a surprise. So we can start with those. So basically, let's start with this one instead of doing more college basketball. Any recommendations for sites which to go through now? I know we've answered this 100 times. However, guy says he lives a little further away from a convenient drive to Rhode Island. He's been using Bovada since he was 18 and his Bodog. But I guess Sunday night they couldn't handle the traffic and their site was down. He's also heard me talk crap about Bovada a million times. And so he kind of wants to know a different site. So I would recommend, Bookmaker, if you're kind of a rookie or, you know, and you're not big better, not experienced better, my bookie is fine for you too. Those guys will pay you out and everything. My bookie's fine. You're more of an experienced better. You kind of want some, you know, whatever. Bookmakers better. They just don't have as many options. And then Five Dimes, I was very worried about them. But they've been perfectly fine. So Five Dimes is another good option. They have a million different options for you. Anything on your side, Joe?
I think the old local is the best way to go.
I agree. If you know a guy, it's the best way to go, and he's you know, reliable. But you know, these days, hard to find a guy you know and is reliable.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I know a guy. You know, I know a guy who can get you some of that. I like Sportsbook. Just a simple, same odds as everything else. That's one of mine. Okay. Any other questions, Dan?
We have a Villanova Marquette question. We have a lot of guys who like Villanova, Joe. So not surprised there.
Squares.
A lot of guys who like Villanova. Dude's looking for a solid 3 to 5 team parlay. Tell you.
Come on, buddy.
No parlays. We don't do parlays here. Again, what I've told you is in general, I'll give you maybe some small parlay pieces for a 2-team parlay, but we don't do parlays. The reason is, and I've told this a million times, I know one better. I know a million betters, and I know only one better who has actually made money betting parlays. They are a waste of your time. They are a waste of your money, and you will lose money doing them long term. Even if you hit a few, you'll still end up losing all that money and then some. Don't play parlays. It's just a waste of time. So, all right, here's a good one, Joe. General blueprint for researching games, slate of games. One of his biggest mistakes is following recency bias and getting sucked into a spot. We'd love to hear how you guys look at the board, specific stats, trends to cue on, and how you end up concluding whether to make a play or not.
I mean, Dan, I don't know how you do it, but I just open up the floodgates. I see what the games are, and I want to know how the line opened up, what the total is. And I just look for spots, you know, and then I look for stuff that just seems weird. For instance, Michigan 6 over Wisconsin.
Yeah, the more I hear it, the more I'm like, you know what? Why do I like Wisconsin? That spot. Yeah. The more it seems like that's a Michigan spot. You're right.
And Dan, I'm telling you, Michigan. I don't know why. Before I even knew the line, I was already ready to fade them. Already ready. No. So again, that's what I do. I just open up you know, in what doesn't look right. And I circle things. And then that's when I go back and look at, you know, how teams are on the road. How do they play at night? All that kind of crap.
So one thing that I would say is I set out specific times to do research in games. I like looking at schedules. You know, recency bias is one of those things where I care more about home road splits in terms of basketball. In hockey, you're looking at how many games, how many days, you know, really for record versus division and type of breakouts, especially that. And of course, power play stats. Power play stats are huge in hockey. So there's different types of things in different sports. And, you know, some things work for some people and some things don't. I developed a system that works for me in college basketball. It works in NBA. It's my system. It's been, you know, tweaking and tinkering with it for years, and it's been very good to me. And, you know, I think that you guys know that we are both pretty good at it. Joe has a better eye than I do. I like to, you know, tweak and tinker and kind of go over stats and stuff.
That's what I do with half times, Dan. Like, I'll just look at it. What was the line before? The line that they're giving you second half is forcing you to go over, so let's go under. You know what I mean? Like, that, it's just as easy as that. And sometimes it is luck. I won't lie.
Okay, yeah. So Joe has an eye for it. I like to develop systems. Everyone has their own thing. You have to find the thing that works for you and ride that. All right. Next question. How much of a factor does fatigue play when you're making a NHL NBA pick? Question for the pod. So
a lot.
My opinion is for the NBA, I don't care much about fatigue when it comes to playing each other. When it comes to the actual spread, I don't care. I care more about fatigue for the totals in basketball for me, because I feel like for the most part, with the exception of the final few months, you know, the year, you know, once you kind of get into March and April, that's a little different. But you're still in the January, February range. You know, these guys are built to play basketball. You know, they're built for this. They have the stamina to do it. It's not a big issue on those back-to-backs. It's more the travel and everything. So therefore, I look more at the totals. Hockey, it's huge. It's huge how many games are played and how many days. In my opinion, it's huge. Joe, you may have a different kind of
thing. Yeah, and I was going to say with hockey, like the Bruins already set up who their goalies are this weekend. You know, like, they need to do that because they're going on a road trip for 10 days and six nights, you know, and it's like, in those spots, you can fade them. But I will say, though, it's a big deal. Like, you got to find out how many teams have played on the road. Have they gone coast to coast? You know, we heard that during the playoffs with the Chiefs, with the Chargers. You know what I mean? So it's a big deal. You definitely have to put into it. But in the end, it's also how the other team is playing as well.
Yeah, agreed. I do think that is important. Another question. Favorite app or apps to follow live action sports across multiple games? Tonight, until tonight, I would have said the Score. The Score has always done me very well in college basketball. They're significantly ahead of ESPN in Score updates, and so that's great. However, the Score sent me an update 4 or 5 minutes before the game ended and told me that Yale hadn't covered. They were up by 3, and Yale ended up winning by 14. So that was infuriating. That hasn't happened to me with the Score. That has happened to me with ESPN and other stuff, but the Score for college basketball is my fave. I like to use
I like covers.com because covers is great. It tells you if it's going to go over the total or under the total and if the team's covering or not. So yeah. it actually tells you the pace of the game.
Yep, so that's great. And then the Action Network app, that's the other thing. It does the same type of thing that Joe just talked about, just in a different sort of layout. So, you know, we are on that too. That's where we track all of our plays and everything. Some guy's asking us for AAF football predictions. I have to be honest.
I was going to mention that. The Alliance football starts tomorrow, Dan. There are some teams, like Zach Mettenberger is a quarterback. Aaron Murray of Georgia is a quarterback. Trent Richardson's a running back in this league. Just watch the games first before. I would not touch anything tomorrow. Watch, see who's big, and then go from there.
Exactly. I can't bet on anything tomorrow. I don't even know the players. I don't know the teams. I don't know anything. And so me, I'm going to watch the games and figure out, because you know what's going to happen. Everyone's going to be on all the faves tomorrow. So like that's like the play, you know.
By the way, dude, do you know you can only watch it on the CBS Stream app?
Really? It's just stream? You can't get it on TV?
I don't think they're going to put it on CBS on a Saturday, do you?
Not a college basketball Saturday, but maybe when
basketball. Yeah, it's on the stream.
Okay, that sucks. I might watch the stream.
Speaking of streams real quick, UFC, you can watch the first fights on ESPN for free, and then if you go to their app, I haven't bought it yet. I think it's only $5.99 a month. But Anderson Silva's fighting tomorrow. It's supposedly his last match. His last fight, he's plus 400. I will just dabble just for the hell of it, but I think Israel Adesanya wins that. But again, I would go all dogs tomorrow. I usually put 25 to 50 bucks a dog, and I always come ahead at the end.
On the pay-per-view side, just the pay-per-view. So
that's correct.
Yep. Okay. This is a good question because I feel like people do this all the time, and I feel like people don't understand this. So Carl Berger, asked me a question. Sorry not to call you out, Carl. You're a good follower. Just, you know, putting this out there. Is it worth it to pick an awesome team and just keep taking the money line? I mean, if you constantly take Golden State to win, you're going to come out with, you know, a lot more money than what you started with. That is a false concept. Pretty simple explanation. Let's say you take Golden State to win $100 every night, right? Every night you're playing them to win $100 every single night. Okay, so sometimes that means Golden State might be minus 1,100. So you have to lay 1,100 to win 100. Well, if Golden State wins 8 games in a row and loses one, and they're minus 1,100 every night, that your one loss is actually more than your 8 wins. So that's a simple way to put it. It's a horrible way to bet. Horrible. Final,
just one thing to add to that. The only sport I would ever advise that in is baseball. The Red Sox in 2018, if you bet $100 for every single game at the end of the year with juice and everything like that, you would have only come away with like $1,200.
Exactly.
So it's still $1,200, but like not for all that work. And you know what I mean?
So my favorite thing to do in baseball instead, fade a team. Find a team to fade. The Orioles, the Royals last year. Just fade them every single game. And you know what? Yeah, you're going to end up making a lot more money than you think. Now, again, what I would do instead of fading, you know, the money line, fade the run line. Fade the run line, because a lot of those times the Orioles are not going to lose by one run. They'll lose by 2 runs, 3 runs, 7 runs, 8 runs. So if you fade the run line, you're breaking even, and honestly, you'll end up making money. So if you want a sport to do that in, I agree with Joe. Baseball is a very good sport to do it in. In general, The only times you can really do it are when a team sucks in the NFL. So, for instance, on Five Dimes, you can do open parlays where you can open a parlay and just continuously fill the parlay as the season goes. So what I used to do for the past few years before, this year started because the Browns got good, I would continuously bet a Browns open parlay. But 16 games in, or 13 or 14, I think I did 13 the first year. I did 16 the second year. I hit 16. The Browns went 0-16. I bet every single game against them, and I made like $8,200 just off doing an open parlay like that. So if you do that on certain, open parlays and like Five Dimes or something, you can do that if teams are terrible and you expect them to lose every single game. Otherwise, no, it's a horrible way to bet, and I do not suggest doing that. Again, not to call you out, Carl. You seem like a nice guy. I want to make sure you don't do that.
The 07 Patriots. I took the Patriots in the over, spread, and total. In the first 8 weeks, it went straight over in the total.
Nice.
It faded after a while, Dan, but I rode that puppy 16 weeks.
Okay. Question from Gary. Can you give out pointers on what you look for when searching for a game? Kind of like capping 101. Maybe like each week go over what you look for in each different sport. So what I'll tell you is this. We already did this. We did a capping 101 type thing where it just kind of gives you, everything. And we do this every week. We kind of give you a different spot, maybe to look for in college basketball or a different thing to look for in the NBA. The thing is that if we start giving out every little thing that we know, there's no reason to listen. So the whole reason is especially if you give it out all at one time, it's one of those things. If we give it out over time, you'll get better and you'll learn more. If you try and force it all at one time, you're still not going to have the experience of it. And so what I would tell you is the experience matters more than just knowing what to look for. Because
I think what would be great, Dan, is if we did like a live, an in-game bet, right? Where a bunch of games are on at noon. We're doing a show talking about all the games and then a halftime bet comes in. And it's like, oh, what makes us think we're going to take this to that and have people either fade or follow? Like, that would be really fun, and people could really find out, how all the insights work when it comes to making a pick.
Yep. Yeah, that's
And that's without research. That's just, I got to get this in 5 minutes. Which way are we going to go on this one,
Exactly. All right, here's maybe we'll do one or two more. Because then I got to go and relieve Kevin over here. Garrett asks, Memphis covered against Oklahoma City in the first quarter last night, even without Gasol. By the way, about 4 or 5 people asked me, should I take the Oklahoma City first quarter? And I told you, if you do, you're an idiot because Memphis is the best first half team in the league. No one listened to me. I think every single bettor ended up taking Oklahoma City either and then DMing me after, be like, oh, crap, I should have listened to you. I was like, yeah, no crap. They played plenty without Gasol this year. Is Memphis first quarter against the spread a chalk play? When is it not? So here's what I would tell you. Very simple timing. Look at the line. If you believe that the line makes sense, then you should play it. But usually most of the time when a team is very good in the first half and now we're, almost 2/3 of the way in the NBA season and they've consistently been this good, they're probably not going to all of a sudden alter their entire team identity because they lose one player. So what I'll tell you is, I would continue to ride the Memphis first half or, look for good spots to put them in there. That would be my opinion for you. Joe, any thoughts?
Nope.
No. Okay. All right. Maybe one or two more, Joe.
Go ahead, man.
Okay. Let's see. We have 3 questions from the same dude. Thoughts on Providence St. John's? Haven't seen a line yet, but Providence.
St. John's been good. I don't know what the line is, but I lean St. John.
And I guess Providence is coming off 3 losses in a row. I would not know, how many losses in the row. St. John's is -6.5 at home tomorrow versus Providence. Just an issue off the line. I
like the Johnnies off the bat.
I kind of like Providence off the bat. Seems low. Again, I don't think there's anything good there. I don't think that's a bet that I would even think about making anyways. And I guess
that's a shit game. I'm not betting that game.
And the sharps opened at they get the line open at 7. Sharps already on Providence down to 6.5. And I guess the other one, this dude asked me about Tennessee all the time. So he asked me Tennessee, Florida tomorrow.
So I actually really like that team.
Tennessee?
Tennessee, they got a good squad. I've watched them a bunch. I've only been on a few of their games. But they're interesting. I saw they're playing somebody tomorrow. Who are they playing tomorrow?
Tennessee's playing Florida. So he's asking who's going to, you know, who should I bet in that game? Ooh, clearly he's a Tennessee line? Fan.
Six?
Tennessee is favored by 11.5.
Oh, my God. That's too many points.
Well, Tennessee's been covering all of their big spreads. I think there was like an 18-point. That was the only one they didn't cover. But they covered versus Missouri. It was whatever the spread was. They did not cover versus Missouri. Sorry. They won by 12 versus Missouri, but they covered versus A&M. They covered versus South Carolina. They covered versus West Virginia. They did not cover versus Vandy. But they've covered, you know, they continuously are a cover machine. And they did cover versus Florida in Florida. They covered. They won by 11 in Florida. So what I would tell you is that's a little scary to me.
Well, Florida Gators have never beaten a number one team in the regular season.
I'm not expecting Florida to win, but Florida on the road and the line is only 11.5 when Tennessee just beat you by 11.5 at your home court, and now they're only 11.5 at home. You don't think that's suspicious a little bit? Again, I haven't looked into it. But
I thought Florida looked good last week against Kentucky. So
I do. Again, they're one of my. I think they're one of their most underrated teams in the league. So I think that's all we got, Joe. Anything else you got?
No, just spots. Dude, Thursday night I bet five bets and I went 4-1. Yes, I got lucky, but like it's too many at one night. You know what I mean? Pick spots, but I love halftime bets. So definitely keep posted to your Twitter handles. And, you know, I'll throw something before game time or at halftime. I love halftimes, Dan.
One of my DM Joe Murray. His DMs are open. DM him away.
Oh, God.
Frustrating.
I'll look, but I might not respond.
Oh, you might not respond. If not, feel free to DM me at Dan Lifshatz. I will gladly respond for the most part. If you piss me off, I won't.
So, all right. Well, that's simple. A long podcast considering there's zero football.
I feel like we gave the people what they wanted, you know? We had to give them something. The slate. Yeah. A lot of stuff in the slate.
I thought about doing a thread like every day.
No.
But it kind of sucks. And I tried it.
It's too tough, man. It doesn't work well. I tried that too, but Twitter isn't good for threads. Found that a long time ago.
Yeah, not good for it. All right, that's this week's Over Under 985 podcast. Of course, visit 985thesportshub.com, BPod Studios, iTunes, you name it, you can find us. I'm Joe Murray. He's Dan Lifshatz. This has been Over Under 985.
Who you got?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.